ज्ञातिमिरन्धस्य इदञ्जनासलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। श्री प्रभुपाद की जय, श्री गुरुदेव की जय, गौर भक्तवृंद की जय, गौर प्रेमानंद जी हरे हरे बोल। Yeah, you all have that link? Namamishwaram Satchidananda Rupam Asat Kundalam Gokule Brajamanam Yashora Biyolu Kaladavamanam Paramishtam Atyattam Atyam Tato Dutya Kopya. Translation: to the Supreme Controller who possesses an eternal form of blissful knowledge, whose glistening earrings swing to and fro, a manifest himself in Gokul, who stole the butter that the gopis kept hanging from the rafters of their storerooms, and who then quickly jumped up and ran and retreated in fear of Pali Yashoda, but was ultimately caught to that Supreme Lord, Sri Damodar. I offer my humble obeisances. Commentary by Sri Lasanathan Goswami. Now maybe you can read. Let's see, who do we have today? Govinda Nandini. Are you there, Mataji? Would you like to read? Hare Krishna.
She can read Dhamma Rishtakam. Govindanandini, can you read?
She may be too shy.
No, she's always saying no, but...
As you like, it's okay. It's all voluntary service. then, Abhidhut Prabhu? Would you like to read?
I have to also do some other things, sir.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay.
Commentary by Srila Sanatana Goswami. Bowing before Sri Damodarisvara, who is accompanied by Sri Radha, I now commence my purport of Damodarasaka entitled Dig Darshini. In the beginning of the Mula Shloka, the very first intention is expressed by the word Namami, I bow down. Obeisances are thus offered with love and devotion before commencing the description of the Lord's specific characteristics of excellence that are exhibited by his tattva, rupa, lila, guna, and so forth. Also mentioned is the essence of his own divine supremacy as the supreme personality of Godhead manifested in Gokul, and also his distinctive features as the origin of all. Furthermore, the word Namami is indicative of an auspicious invocation, Mangalartam. At the start of all functions, it is customary to offer respects to Ishvara, which expresses an attitude of devotional service unto the Lord. For this reason, obeisances are offered first unto the Lord in this verse. Maharaj, I'm sorry, my voice is failing this morning. Can somebody else pick it up from here?
Okay.
I apologize for that.
Yes.
Now the commentator, Srila Sanatana Goswami examines Tattva Vishesha or the excellence of the Lord's obeisances unto who? Unto Ishvara, the Supreme Controller, namely He who is one, Sarva Shaktiman, endowed with all potencies. 2. Jagateka Nath, only Lord of the Universe. And 3. Nija Prabhu, my own Master. In the first instance, he is addressed as such in order to obtain the power of Shakti needed to offer the prayer. In the second instance, he is addressed as such to indicate that he is the one and only Lord who is being worthy. In the final instance, he is addressed as such to signify the specific nature of bhakti or devotion. How is he manifest? As Satchidananda Rupam, or a form composed of complex clouds of eternity, knowledge and bliss. This is a statement of his supreme sovereignty in regards to his tattva vishesha attribute or appearance of truth. Now, Rupa Vishesha, the excellence of his beauty is described. His distinct excellence of beauty is illustrated as follows. Lashanti, the swinging of his earrings, was manifested when he ran away in fear of Sri Yashoda. Or also, his earrings spoke upon his cheeks as a result of his continuously playing in the transcendental pastimes of childhood. Thus, his divinely splendorous face is especially portrayed. Or also, here another meaning of Rasat Kundalam is due to the Mahasaubhagya or great fortune of personally kissing his divine cheeks. These earrings have attained a position of super excellence above all his other ornaments. And this super excellence also indicates fortune of other ornaments adorning his various limbs. Furthermore, Lashanti indicates the fortune of other ornaments adorning his various limbs. Furthermore, Lashanti indicates that these earrings are glistening because they are enriched with the splendorous effulgence of Lord bodily complexion. Therefore, Krishna's body is the ornament of his ornaments. This is the meaning. Consequently, it is stated by the gopis in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 9th chapter, 48th verse. O Sri Krishna, by seeing your beauty which attracts the three worlds, these cows, birds, trees and deer are all experiencing their hairs standing on end. What is the wonder then if we are also bewildered? In the 3rd canto, Bhagavatam 3-12, it is also stated by Sri Uddhava to Vidura regarding Sri Krishna's beauty. Sri Krishna's beauty is so enchanting that it even astonishes himself. That beauty represents the supreme zenith of great opulence, so much so that he is actually the ornament of his ornaments. Now, the Parivara Vishesha or attributes of his family portray his unique excellence. The word Gokule indicates that place where Gopal, Gopis, calves and so forth reside. The word Brajavaram indicates a particularly befitting place wherein he can manifest an excellence that surpasses that of previous Leelas. Moreover, he is splendorous because only in Gokul does he manifest his Sabhavika Shubha or most natural characteristics of brilliance. Stated in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, 10:13-14. Bhagavan Sri Krishna, who sits upon the asana formed in the lotus-like hearts of the Siddha Yogis, manifesting a body the base of all spectrum and the three worlds. There is some manifesting.
Echo is coming. It's okay.
Now I think it's okay. Manifesting a body that is the abode of all the splendor of the three worlds, he sat upon the asana presented by the gopis, was worshipped by them, and thereby radiated even more splendor. His excellence of Lila Vishesha or attributes of his pastimes are stated in the last two lines of the verse. The word Yashoda indicates Yashodaya, or from his mother Yashoda. He here indicates the fear of being punished for the offense of taking delivered pots, stealing fresh butter, and so forth. Kulukhalar denotes from the mortar in order to steal the fresh butter suspended from the rafters. He took a large wooden grinding mortar that was kept in the same storeroom, turned it on the end, and climbed upon it. But spotting his mother coming into the room with a stick in her hand, he immediately gets down. Dhavamanam, he speedily runs away. In this regard, if one desires to know the particulars of this pastime, it can be found in 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Thus, then, Sri Krishna turned the grinding mortar on end, climbed up on it, and began distributing the fresh butter hanging from the rafters to the monkeys as freely as he liked. Due to knowledge of his own mischievous thievery, his eyes fearfully darted this way and that. Mother Yashoda saw him doing this and slowly crept up from behind to catch him. But he noticed her coming with a stick in her hand, and he quickly got down from the mortar and started running away. Just like a person stricken with fear, even though highly advanced yogis are enabled by the strength of their finances to merge their minds with Brahma, still they cannot get a glimpse of this scene of the Yashoda Devi chasing her son Krishna behind while attempting to catch him. Then, Tato Drutya, she ran very swiftly. Due to the samasa conjunction, these two words become one. Gopriya by Sri Yashoda, Paramanishtam, catching hold of his back. Here are the words Atyanta, Tato Drutya, running behind Krishna very swiftly, imply the Saundarya Vishesha, excellence of beauty of the Yashoda's full breast, broad hips, and so on, as well as the particulars of her affection for her son. The loving use of the word Gopriya connotes the grand fortune that came upon the Gopakas, my Krishna, preferring to appear among them by the word Paramishtam, caught by his back, the unique attribute of super excellent affection that Bhagavan Sri Krishna feels for the Yashoda Mata. Sneha Vishesha is intimated. In this regard also, one researches out the following verse from the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. While chasing after Krishna, the slim waist of Yashoda's broad hips cause her pace to slow down from running quickly. The flowers had come loose from her hair and were falling after her, but she still continues to pursue him. In this fashion, after chasing and chasing him, she finally caught him from behind. Thus ends Sanatana Goswami Deep Darshini Tika on the first loka of Shri Ramadastam.
Okay, then what are all these messages? Okay, just kindly don't send any chat messages while we're reading. So this way we can concentrate on the reading and not so much on chatting. Okay? If you want to send a personal message to someone, you can do that. And this way everyone doesn't have to. And just get distracted. I appreciate that. And let's see who else would like to read.
Swarup can read, Maharaji. I can see them.
Swarup? Come on. Okay.
Swarup, can you read?
Text number 2. Risantam Purnitra Yokam Risantam Karmoja Yokmeya Shanta Kantenitram Uhuswasa Kampati Rekanka Kantal Sita Kaiva Dhamoda Rambhati Vada. Would you like to read the translation and commentary?
Yes, Maharaj, I would like to.
Oh, thank you very much, Prasad.
Can you just let me know from where I can begin?
The translation.
He wants to know the page, Maharaji, because he, I guess...
The page is 3. The bottom of page 3.
Okay, text 2. Page 2. Is it starts with then, so you can
No, page 3, the text 2. It's page number 3 at the bottom. It says text 2, and it says Rudanta Muhur Nepur Yugmam Nirjantam. You see that? on page 3?
Right, I see that.
Okay, thank you. I read the translation.
Okay, sure. Upon seeing his mother's whipping stick, he cried and rubbed his eyes again and again with his two lotus hands. His eyes were fearful and his breathing quick, and as a mother, Yashoda, bounded his belly with ropes. He shivered in fright, and his pure pearl necklace shook. To the Supreme Lord, Sri Damodara, I offer my humble obeisance.
And a commentary?
Commentary by Srila Satya Goswami.
Sanatana
Goswami, sorry.
Yes.
After this, Krishna's Lila Vishesha, excellence of pastimes, is mentioned as confirmed in the Bhagavatam. Thus, next question. Mata Yashoda saw that the mischievous child then cried and cried while rubbing his eyes with his hands, thereby smearing the dark eye lining cosmetic from them. Krishna saw the stick in her hand, his eyes become overwhelmed with his fright. In his condition, Yashoda seized his hand and proceeded to chastise him in order to instill fear in him. The details of his pastime are now spoken on second verse beginning with Rudhatam. Seeing the whipping stick in his mother's hand and apprehending being stuck with it, he behaved as if terrified so that she could see. His distress and things, he's afraid of being punished. He hoped that by her seeing this attitude of his, she could not hit him with the stick. Thinking in this way that he could be spared punishment, therefore, karma bhoja, yogmena netra yogma matra jatam. He rubbed both eyes again and again with both of his lotus-like hands at the same time. This is the natural characteristics of Bali Lila, and he needs the normal habit of a small child, sorry, children. Or else, karma bhoja yogmena netra yogma Marjatanam may also indicate that by the influence of his fright, many tears were actually forming in his eyes. Therefore, he rubbed them again and again in order to make the tear fall off. Or furthermore, he rubbed his eyes again and again in order to wipe away tears that are falling again and again. This is yet another meaning. Now, Satanka made from threatening his mother's punishment, his eyes expressed how much he was terrified in his mind. Or else, he referred to his glancing this way and that in extreme fear. In this regard also, he tries to avoid being punished, thus another confidential pastime he disclosed. Moreover, Mukhasena, due to his crying and snobbing again and again, compared trouble between Sri Rekha marked with his three lines just like a hancha. Samte Sitam Grivam, all his neck ornaments like pearl necklace and so forth. He who appears this way, Damodaram, whose belly is tied with a rope, he describes us in the Bhagavatam. Just as an ordinary mother binds her naughty son, Yashoda Mata considers Sri Krishna to be his own ordinary child and tied him to the grinding mortar with a rope. Stating that knots were tied on the rope both on his belly and to the mortar, this indicates the particular of Sri Krishna's excellence called Bhaktar Yashar Bhasanta, or the quality of coming under the control of his devotees. Bhaktiyam Ba Badham, is it right?
Bhaktiyaya Badham.
Bhaktiyaya Badham. This refers to he who responds.
we lose you?
Okay. Yes, I thought we lost him.
Okay.
He who responds fully to the bhakti in the following two ways, from his mother's viewpoint, he is bound by the loving parental devotion she feels for her son. From his viewpoint, he is bound by his mother's devotion in the form of bhakti vashana badam. He is willingly accepted the binding, although no rope had the power to bind him. Thus, Mother Yashoda eventually collected all the ropes in her household, but upon tying them together and the length still came out two fingers, too short to fit around this waist. This is described in the following slokas from Bhagavatam.
Just a second. Gosh, Prabhu, can you please mute your microphone?
Okay.
You got wrong again.
Thank you. Can I continue?
Sorry. While tying up the naughty child, the rope came out two fingers short, so Yashoda Mata tried another end to it. This rope also came out two fingers short, so she tied yet another length to that one. But no matter how many ropes she added, it also ended up too short. Thus she was unable to bind, even if she had all the ropes in the house. Then her gopi friends began to smile, and she herself also smiled and laughed in astonishment. Page 5. Furthermore, the reason for this characteristic of the rope around his waist is Bhaktiyava Badam Padam. He can be bound fully by devotion and nothing else. By this, he becomes controlled, such as certainly the conclusion of aforementioned description. In this connection, it is further stated in Bhagavatam 10.9.18, section 21. By attempting to bind Krishna, Yashoda becomes fragile from tying so many ropes together again and again. Jeeps, pipe, as flowers, garlands in her hair fell loose. Then the young child Sri Krishna saw her awareness and mercifully consented to be tied up. So Maharaja Parikshit, although he controlled the entire universe along with his highly qualified demigods, the supreme independent Haridas displayed how he comes under the control of the devotees. Therefore, this Gopi Yashoda Mata receives such a great benediction from he who awards liberation, a favor who granted to Lord Brahma, Maheshwara, or even Lakshmi Devi herself, whose portent has in half the blood of all the Lord's incarnations. Bhagavan Gopi Sutta, the Supreme Lord appearing as the son of covered woman, is thus readily available for his devotees, yet remains far away from those absorbed in a bodily concept of eightfold yoga practice, as well as those focusing on vision of self, so intellectual pursuit. In other words, the tapasya of Jaini embark on very difficult path of spiritual searching, but being completely unable to attain Bhagavan, at the best can end up realizing only a minute fraction of Lord Krishna's true glory. These verses from Bhagavatam indicate a direct proof of all such conclusion. Elsewhere in Bhagavatam, it's stated in 10.10.25. Because Devasri Naranda is my dear devotee, and because these two boys are the son of my devotee Kuvera, I will deliver them in order to fulfill the words previously spoken by Mahatma Naranda. The purport of these words spoken by Sri Krishna is that he totally depends on the devotion of Sri Naranda, being pleased with Naranda's bhakti. Krishna therefore dragged the grinding mortar and broke down the two trees in which the cursed brother stood. This is why the Lord's performance means and indicate all other pastimes.
Because of the devotion of his devotees.
The devotees.
Thank you. In the sense that Sanatana Goswami, the personal teacher of the second sloka of Sri Dhammadharastakam. Very good. Thank you very much, Sarup. Does anyone know the significance of the two fingers? Why was it always two fingers short? Anyone know the meaning of those two fingers?
Maharshi,
yes?
I don't know, I'm sort of lost, but still I want to make a guess. Is it that Lord Krishna is having butter with us? I mean, he's stealing something like that.
Huh?
Is it something like Lord Krishna is stealing butter, I mean, from the pot with his two fingers, he's just taking it, something?
Oh, no, why was when Mother Yashoda was binding Krishna, the rope was always two fingers short. And she had to take another rope and try again, and that rope was also two fingers short. What is the significance of that, taking so many ropes and always being two fingers short? Is there some significance to those two fingers?
She cannot tie a knot or something.
She couldn't tie the knot because it was too short. What is it? Anyone ever heard what the significance of those two fingers is? What do you say? Court Chandra, you want to say? Knowledge and renunciation. No, not knowledge and renunciation exactly. That's not what I heard. Knowledge and renunciation.
This is not so much
about knowledge and renunciation. This is about devotion. Of course, knowledge and renunciation come automatically. The two brothers are Nalakugara, Manigriva and Nalakugara, the two brothers of Kugara. Those were the two souls who were liberated. I'm not so sure about the significance of why there were two, but anyhow, it was necessary to take down those trees that he was tied to have two trees there. Anyhow, I'll tell you if you haven't heard this before. Two fingers represent devotees. One finger is for the devotee's endeavor. Devotee is endeavoring, and that endeavoring is not just once. It is again and again. Thus, there are many ropes that she's trying to tie. Devotee endeavors again and again and again. But it's not sufficient. Then the second finger comes. Second finger represents Krishna's allowing, Krishna's permission, Krishna's grace. He allows his devotee to bind him with his devotion. First, the devotee endeavors. He makes the endeavor. But that's not sufficient. Devotee's endeavor is not sufficient to bind Krishna. And the endeavor may be there, and the devotion is there, no doubt. But then Krishna has to grant his grace, his mercy to the devotee, and allows the binding to happen. So there's a reciprocation. Love doesn't mean that only from one side is coming. But there has to be a reciprocation of love also. One can try again and again to endeavor to gain the love of his beloved. But if that person does not want to reciprocate, then the love is not complete, can't be completed. Loving relationship is a relationship after all. And so like that, two fingers, the side coming from the devotee and the side coming from Krishna. That's necessary. And the Lord is a case in that way. He is not impersonal. It's personal. And the devotee is personal. And so they have a personal relationship, a genuine relationship. And that means, I don't know, any ropes were used means that endeavor of the devotee goes on repeatedly. And Krishna manifests too, and has the enthusiasm, the eagerness of his devotee. He may not reciprocate immediately, but after repeated attempts again and again, after seeing how sincerely the devotee is trying to capture his attention, and then Krishna will finally reciprocate last minute, last moments. What is that? Anyhow, that was the basic idea. Then, next, what do we have here? Gaur Chandra, would you like to read from text 3, page 5? Kiti Vikshami Viklavir Ananda Kunde Sagosham Yivam Shantam Akya Bhayantam Tadiyeshitam Vishu Bhaktajitam Pura Premakastam Tarsatavikti Vande. Can you read from the translation? On page, at the bottom of page 5. Gaurachandra, are you there? Gaurachandra.
Drown the inhabitants of Gokula in pools of ecstasy. The devotees were attracted only to his majesty aspect of Narayana in Vaikuntha, the Lord herein released. I am conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion to the Supreme Lord, Damodara, my obeisances hundreds and hundreds of times. Commentary by Srila Sanatana Goswami. Now the excellence of his guna vishesh, attributes of his qualities, are expressed in this verse, beginning with the word iti. It depicts the kirtan for his coming under the sway of his devotees. And furthermore, it means by his dhila. It also connects idrishimis cha. By all Sri Krishna's supremely enchanting childhood pastimes like Damodara Leela. The word Swasya indicates his own uncommonly divine pastimes, Leela Bhi. By all his sportive pastimes, he drowns all the living beings of Gokula and ecstasy. This is confirmed by many statements of the Bhagavatam, such as the following. 10.1178, if you dance, Then we will be sweet. By these words or by clapping their hands, the elder gopis sometimes induce Sri Krishna to dance. Thus Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, danced just like an ordinary child. Sometimes they made it and he therefore sang just like a bewildered innocent boy. In this way, he came under the control of the cowherd women exactly like a bird puppet of strings. Sometimes his relatives would order to bring their shoes. A chair or measuring pot, but if he was unable to lift the article called for, he would grasp it firmly and, to please dear relatives, flap his elbows again and again to demonstrate his childish strength. On the basis of these conclusions of the Bhagavatam, it is further stated, Hosham means all the living beings dwelling in Gokula, Nand Kunde Nimajjantam. He immersed them in a deep pool brimming with liquid bliss fellows, Anand Rasamaya Gabhira Jala. Therefore, it is declared in the Bhagavatam verse quoted above, Swanam Pritim Samudvahan Vahan. By these actions, he split the completed love of his own dearmost relatives, Preeti. And furthermore, the word Ghosaha additionally means the loud proclamation of his glories. Similarly, the word Swa also connotes either Swasa or Swanam, that either his own glory or the glory of the Gopas and Gopis is proclaimed by these Swashines. In this mood, he personally drowned them all in pools of bliss. Anand Kunde Nimajjantam. And they experienced a very special excellence of supreme happiness, Param Sugha. And furthermore, it is specially noted that Tadiyasyeta Geshu. And to those who are attached to knowledge of the Lord's Majesty, Aishwarya, and who worship Him accordingly, He declares, Jidatvam. Only in front of His own pure devotees does He become totally submissive, being conquered by their loving devotion. Apriya Akhya Bayantam. He has fully displaced this quality for all to see. The meaning is, I willingly become submissive to the control. I willingly become submissive to the control of my servants who are attached to bhakti, but I will never submit myself to those fond of jnana. This is confirmed in the Bhagavatam 10.11.9. Thus, Bhagavan Sri Krishna has proclaimed to the bhaktas of the universe who are fond of Aishwarya Gyan that he is fully submissive only to his pure, to his own pure devotees. The meaning of this Bhagavatam verse is, the word Vidam indicates devotees who are attached to Bhagavad Aishwarya Gyan. Or yet another meaning is Tadiyanam, such that he displays this submission to his devotees only in front of those who are already aware of the bhava or power of his most dear favorite devotees. He does not exhibit this feature to others. The reason for such behavior is those who are unaware of the special glories or dharmas and those who cultivate keval gyan, impersonal knowledge, are unqualified to be presented with a display of the supremely confidential truth regarding devotion and the great devotion. In this mood, a further meaning of Tad Vidam from the Bhagavatam verse 10.11.9 curated above is, this word reveals Vasyata Vidam, or those who are unaware of Sri Krishna's quality of submitting to his devotees. Now in Damodarashtakam, the word Prematah denotes with an excellence of love and devotion. Satavriti means hundreds and hundreds of times. Unto that Ishvara Puna Vande, I greatly offer my respectful obeisances. Therefore, the only thing worshipful for me is to offer my obeisances unto the super excellence of the process of bhakti, which brings the Supreme Lord under the control of his devotees. Such a condition can never come about through Aishwarya Gyan or knowledge of his divine majesty. This alone is the mood of the devotee offering this specific prayer. Thus ends Sri Sanatana Goswami's Darshini Tika, the third shloka of Sri Damodar
Ashtakam. Oh, thank you very much, Gaurachandra. Very nice. Okay. And then Krishna Prabhu mentioned about the, I think you were mentioning about the two trees, why there are two trees, why what is his name? Nandakuvera and Manigriva, why they were two, represents the jnana and karma. Uprooting of jnana and karma will liberate the devotee, bring him to the devotional platform. So the meaning of the two fingers and the two trees, we can understand from these details. And so there's always some significance in the Lord's pastimes. And who else is here?
Jai Govinda. Radha Krishna is offering, I guess.
Radha Krishna went off.
He's offering.
I see. Okay. Jai Govinda, I don't know. Hari Bol, Jai Govinda. Hartir, Jai Govinda Prabhu. I don't know, Hari, would you like to read? Huh? A little sorry also.
Read, Maharaji.
Yes? Would you like to read, Sardavinda?
Yes. Can you send me something from where can I read?
Okay. And, let me see if I have that. Yes.
Send the
link. Send the link. Anyone who doesn't have a link, they can do this. And we're on page 6. Page 6, text 4.
Okay.
Okay. I'll read the Sanskrit, and then you can read the translation, okay? Param deva mokshana mokshava dimba natchanyam brineham varisharapi idam deva purnata gopala bhaham sadamanasyapi avirastam kimanyai. And you get the translation? Lord.
This is supreme control who possesses an eternal form of blissful knowledge whose wisdom, earrings, strength and fro, who manages himself in the cool, whose soul the better than the gopis kept hanging from the rafters of the storerooms.
Okay, that's the first text. We're on the text number 4 on page 7. Page 7 of that document.
Okay. O Lord, also you are able to give all kinds of benediction. I do not pray to you for liberation, nor eternal life in the future, nor any other boon. My only prayer is that your childhood pastimes might constantly appear in my mind. O Lord, I do not even want to know your future of Paramatma. I simply wish to your childhood pastimes and even be connected in my heart.
Thank you. Any commentary? Would you like to read a commentary by Srila Sanatana Goswami?
Oh, Maharaj.
Too much for you?
Yes.
Yes, okay. As you feel comfortable, you can do no problem. Let's see. Who else do we have to read?
Krishna,
would you like to read?
Yes, Maharaj. Okay. I just want to request Mr. Directly of the Directly Prabhuji to mute his microphone. I don't know if you Directly.
Or Dimitri? How do you want Dimitri? You can mute your microphone and it will be easy for everyone to hear. Do you know how to mute? How to mute your microphone? Oh, I see. He doesn't have the right link. Okay. Try the link. Here's the link. You try that again.
He doesn't have a PDF. He doesn't have a
PDF. You don't have PDF?
I do.
You can open. Oh, I see. You can open PDF. Okay. And Dimitri, do you know how to mute your microphone, Dimitri Prabhu? Hariba, are you there?
He speaks only Russian and understands only Russian.
Only Russian.
He's a Bulgarian.
Have anyone? No, he knows English. He knows English.
He's not
being bad here. Huh? Dimitri Nagelchev. Can you hear me? All right, maybe you can send him a text message and just disconnect, and then he can, if he likes to join again. And we want to mute his microphone, and then he can join us, okay? Krishna Prabhu?
Yes, Maharaji. And still continue reading. Can I know the page number, Maharaji? I'm a little bit lost.
We're on page 7, and the commentary by Sri Vaishnavakam Goswami.
Just as a commentary.
At the bottom of page 7.
Thank you very much. Commentary by Srila Sanatana Goswami. In this way, continuing the description of the Lord's particular excellences, the prayer progresses with a request that mentions one's cherished desires. This is presented in two verses, 4 and 5, starting with the word Varam. The word Deva means, O Supremely Effulgent One, or it also implies, O Lord, engaged in super excellent sweet sports. The word Iha means herein, Vrindavana, Varisad, from you. Who can bestow any benediction? Varam na vane, I do not seek any boon. Specifically, I do not pray for moksha, the four purushartha or goal of human life, to achieve freedom from material contact by merging into the Brahman presence. Nor do I pray for moksha or Vaidhamu, the highest supreme zenith of liberation in the form of eternally living in Sri Vaikuntha Loka, where excellence of life is the nature of thickly condensed happiness. Nor do I pray for Anyancha, that is, other things such as the nine methods of devotional service headed by Shravana, hearing, chanting. I do not desire the boons that may be obtained by any of these processes. Furthermore, even if you want to give them to me, and additionally, even if others consider such things to be very appealing, that is Iha, here in Vrindavana, I do not have the slightest desire for them. This word Iha can also be used in relation to the statements of the rest of the verse. It is naturally understood that the three benedictions referred to Moksha, that is liberation, Mokshavadi, the highest zenith of liberation, and Anya, that is other things, all reflect an ascending level of superiority, each being greater than the last. In this regard, the superiority of Vaikuntha to impersonal liberation is clearly described in my Srila Sanatana Goswami's Brihat Bhagavatamrita Uttarakhanda 114.15. And the superiority of nine processes of devotion headed by Shravana to Vaikuntha Loka is described in the Bhagavatam 3.15. The four Kumaras headed by Sanat, after cursing the disrespectful devotees named Jaya and Vijaya, said to Lord Vishnu, who had just appeared, O Lord, we pray that you let us be born in any hellish condition of life, as long as our ears are always filled with the chanting of your transcendental qualities. By these words, it becomes evident that the nine processes of devotion, beginning with Shravana, can be perfected even while living in hell. Wherever one is, and in whatever condition of life, one thereby experiences the perfection of living in the eternal abode of Vaikuntha. This being the case, then what boon does one want from the Lord? The answer is given in the fourth verse of Dhammadashtakam. He Natha, Iham Idham, Te Vapur Gopala Balam. O Lord, this form of yours as a cowherd child in Vrindavana, Sadame Manasi Avirastam, many such a form ever be manifest in my mind. Since he is Antaryami, situated as the indwelling super soul, he may be seen manifesting the divine beauty of his every limb within one's heart, just as clearly as one sees directly with the eyes. Still, even if Krishna were to personally address the devotee and offer, O he, the above mentioned three words of boons beginning with moksha are not ordinary. They are most desirous, and anyone would immediately accept them. Would you accept them? The answer is given herein. Kim anai, what is the use of all these things? They have no value to me. This is the meaning. The reason behind this attitude is, Sri Krishna is composed of all the bliss in the universe. So if he is attained, then everything else is automatically and perfectly attained. But if one cannot attain Krishna, then the imperfection perceived in the absence of the desired goal especially creates a grand distaste and lamentable misery at the mere thought of attaining something of lesser value. Therefore it is said here that other boons are useless. Kim anai, what good are they? This is the mood. Or else the words kim anai show yet another meaning. Again the Lord may ask, even though you do not pray for the boons beginning with moksha, would you care then for the boon of directly seeing and conversing with my supremely worshipable four-armed form of Sri Narayana and other Aishwarya Maya Murtis, the answer remains the same, Kim Anai. Other boons are useless to me. The intention behind this is if your divine form of covert child, which is a crest trail of splendors, all splendors, just a second, because then I would feel very, very pleased. Nothing short of that would satisfy me. This is the mood.
Okay.
Just
yes, one more paragraph.
And I cannot actually scroll the page. This is in my
That's all right, I'll read it. I'll read further details.
Okay. For further details regarding the glories of Antardarshana, seeing the Lord within the heart, please see Bhagavatamrata, Uttarakhanda 286-96. Therein, the sage Sri Pipalayana on the planet Tapoloka has explained all these principles very elaborately. Now the Tamodrasaka prayer offered by Satyavrata Muni similarly demonstrates that the longing for inner darshana is the best goal of all. From this prayer, all these things can be clearly understood. Thus, as Sanatan goes on, is the darshani pika on the fourth sloka of Sri Sri Damodarshanam. Can I read some?
Alright, well, it's late right now. Now we're going to be starting at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock here in the morning in New York time. In the East Coast, U.S. East Coast. What do they call that? Atlantic time?
New York time is
Eastern Standard Time.
Eastern Standard Time. New York time.
So we start at 8 o'clock now on Sunday mornings here, Eastern Standard Time. Yes, EST. 15:59 in Lithuania. Okay. So that's not too bad. 4 o'clock. And then Lithuania, 4 p.m. And much better than 4 a.m. in the morning for you. Our other classes. So if anyone likes to join us, I would very much like to have your association on Sundays. If you can join us at 8 o'clock in the morning, EST, then it's convenient for you. You are well, most welcome. And and our Abhidhuta Rai Prabhu, he was lamenting, and we've only been talking about the constants of Dhammadharasthakam. We haven't mentioned the fine-tuning constants of the universe. Of course, these are the finest tunings of the universe we are mentioning here. But, and yeah, we didn't get a chance to talk about five constants. We promised to talk about something about that for his satisfaction. But I would suggest that if you'd like to read something, I'm going to send you a link, then you can take a look at this, get some information about those things. And anyone else who would like to read that. The next time, we'll get around to doing that. I'll get around to discussing those things, if you're at all interested. And see what the whole that means about how the universe is, the different constants the physicists have found, all indicating that some kind of intelligence has gone into making the universe what it is, specifically suitable for life to have form, for life to be possible. So, I think next time we'll have to read this text from text 5. All right. Anybody have any questions or comments they'd like to make? Okay, we're very happy to have you here. Today, Govinda Nandini and Jai Govinda and Swarup and all the others, Gaur Chandra. and Habadut Nitanichi, and Jonathan and Pushottam and Krishna Prabhu, Hare Bhagavan. All right, everyone, if you like, you can say Hare Krishna to one another.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare
Krishna. Hare
Krishna. Hare Thank you.